is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spouting Off, August 20th edition, the BBS Friday edition. You are obviously not hearing Karen Cataline. This voice is certainly not operatic to any considerable extent. I'm, in fact, Joseph Patterson. She may have mentioned me at some point. I have no idea, really. But I am the co-host of the Silk or Joe show, and I also guest host the Alan Nathan show. I know she must have mentioned that program to you. She guest hosts there as well. We're all over at the Main Street Radio Network. You can check it out, mainstreetradionetwork.com. And you can also listen to past episodes where she has hosted. In fact, we had some in the past week. I mean, not this past week, but 2 weeks ago, I guess. It's a Friday, forgive me. Anyway, though, Karen did not mention that she would take callers. Well, she did mention that, I should say. I totally obliviously misread that particular instruction from her. But unfortunately, the Alan Nathan Show and the Silk or Joe Show are not caller-friendly. They are sometimes pre-recorded. So I'm not comfortable with that at this time, and I'm not going to risk crashing her Cadillac here. Anyway, now that she is not here, though, because she's away on a business trip, I wanted to get that out to you all there, in case you were wondering, well, why is this strange man who doesn't sound like he's been on the radio very long talking in her place? Well, there you go. She's on a business trip, and sometimes business can't be helped. That's why I guest host a lot. Alan Nathan, he is the vice president of the Main Street Radio Network. He's also working on a book, so when he gets busy, I get into the saddle. And then there's also the Silk or Joe show. Why is it called Silk or Joe? Because our company president, Jane Silk, she is the co-host. And when she is not available, which is usually all the time because company president stuff, I get called in to fill in. So they just put my name on that program. But now the introductions are out of the way. Now that you're somewhat familiar with me, let's just get right on into it. Since the last edition of this show, we've seen more on the Afghanistan collapse. I guess since especially the last BBS Friday edition of the program. Now, here's a headline here from the Gateway Pundit, quote, Biden is a monster, colon, State Department officials in Kabul sit cabled to Secretary of State Blinken and Biden officials in July warning of Taliban gains in the need for fast evacuations. That's not what anybody was saying in July, though. If you go back to July 8th, in fact, Biden was saying that the possibility of a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan was slim to none. And this sentiment was echoed by Chairman of Joint Chiefs General Mark Milley. But we obviously saw that that was false, that that was wrong. He ignored the warning from the State Department. And in the recent ABC News interview earlier this week with George Stephanopoulos, Biden just gave the most self-serving story about what happened, saying, oh, no one warned me about this. No one warned me about that. No one advised me to do this. No one advised me to do that, except the exact opposite was true, allegedly. I'm going to say allegedly because I'm pretty sure Karen has laid into Biden while she's been hosting this program. And, well, he's not exactly all there. So, you know, maybe no one told him specifically and they just kind of went off and did things on their own. He doesn't really seem like he's in the loop. I mean, gee whiz, just look at his travel schedule. He was on vacation this past weekend, and the only reason on Monday he came in to do a speech is because people got mad at him, and then right after that speech Monday, he goes right back on vacation again for all of Tuesday. Kind of reminded me, really, of, I said this on the Alan Nathan Show and the Silk or Joe Show for those listeners out there who are repeat and just followed me around. I don't think I have followers, honestly, but in case you do, in case you think I'm reiterating myself, I totally am. I do that a lot. But I have said, it just reminds me of Obama, Biden's mentor and former boss back in 2014. When we learned that an American journalist had been beheaded by ISIS, Obama strolls in off the golf course, just kind of looks tired, maybe hungover. And he's like, yeah, we don't have a strategy on how to deal with ISIS. And then he goes back golfing, which is what Biden did. He comes in Monday and says, this was all unexpected, but I take the full blame for it, even though it's not my fault. It's the fault of Trump. It's the fault of the Afghan military. Okay, everybody, goodbye. And then he goes back on vacation for another day. In fact, he was supposed to go back on vacation again Thursday night, but he stayed for some address that was happening today, if not right now, as I'm with you all speaking. If you're listening to me, though, you're instead of him, you're probably going to learn more about the situation going on anyway, because even when Biden is actually all there, he's not all there, if you get my meaning on that. His mental capacities aren't entirely present. But continuing on with the shocking, terrible what's going on in Afghanistan, the Biden State Department spokesperson, Ned Price, just August 19th, that was yesterday, in fact, wanted to say Wednesday, but it's yesterday, when asked how many Americans are left trapped inside Afghanistan, the guy had no idea. He had no clue. He actually said, "I don't know who is left in Afghanistan." That's very shocking coming from the State Department. Aren't they supposed to keep track of this kind of thing? Shouldn't they know how many people go to Afghanistan? They know how many people stormed the Capitol on January 6th. They know where they live. They've arrested a bunch of them. But they don't know how many Americans are trapped in Afghanistan. What, was that not a priority for them? 10,000 to 40,000, depending on which version of Sean Hannity's show you saw earlier this week, are trapped in Afghanistan, and we don't know who's who or who's where? Whereas we can easily spot all the people who were in the Capitol on January 6th and arrest them. See, that's the government's priorities right there. Actually, though, this Afghanistan thing, it seems to be shaping to me, just like speaking of Obama admin failures, sort of like Benghazi, because, again, Biden ignored all the warnings. Even in his own words, well, he says he wasn't given any of the warnings in his own words, but evidence is to the contrary that he just was given them but ignored them. That is what Hillary Clinton did with Benghazi. She was given plenty of warnings about what was going on in that country, but she ignored them. That led to the deaths of four Americans. Now, how many are going to die from the Biden administration repeating Hillary Clinton's mistake? Actually, it's interesting that I would mention Hillary Clinton because the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, earlier this week, this is kind of interesting, when he was asking the American government for, you know, status and advice on what to do in Afghanistan, he didn't get in touch with Biden. He couldn't get a hold of Biden. Biden was on vacation. He got Hillary Clinton. So why is he going to her for advice on this? In fact, didn't she vote to have us in Afghanistan in the first place? Hasn't she been out of politics? We haven't been hearing anything from her. So why is the Canadian Prime Minister going to her for advice on Afghanistan? Does she have some say in this? Is she somehow involved in this? That's rather peculiar that that would happen. But going back to America and Afghanistan, after from that little aside there, we don't know how many Americans are trapped there, and the State Department says that, you know, we don't know. The military says we're not going to bother getting people rescued, we're just going to keep the airport open, which is stupid. Why are you bothering to keep the airport open if no one's getting past the Taliban to get there? Because the Taliban, they're out there beating Americans. That's why Biden didn't fly back to go back on vacation last night, because reports came in, the Taliban were beating Americans. Even though all this week we were told, oh, well, we're not going to send soldiers through Kabul to get Americans out because the Taliban promised us safe passage. Well, that's obviously not happening. As if anyone needed to be told that, anyone with a lick of common sense needed to be told the Taliban went on their agreement, especially when they see the blatant weakness that the Biden administration has shown in this situation. And what's the Biden administration going to do about this? Probably nothing. I would certainly hope they would do something, but pattern so far indicates they're doing nothing. For crying out loud, they told us to rely on the Taliban. If you planned on doing anything, you wouldn't tell us to rely on this massive terrorist organization who will strike when they sense that you have weakness. But it seems that Democrats just had no understanding of the Taliban and their viciousness. Whereas our allies actually do. UK, French, and German special forces are rescuing their citizens outside the Kabul airport, while US soldiers are under strict orders to rely on the Taliban for safe passage. Isn't that interesting? Our allies are actually getting their people out, but we're under orders to rely on the Taliban, who are beating our people. Wow. It's just so backwards how terribly wrong that they've gotten this whole situation. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, the Taliban, they captured secret documents at the embassy that will tell them who helped the U.S. and how to find them. In addition to that, they capture everything from Afghan army tanks, looked like M60 Pattons, which are very potent. They can take out an Abrams in the right circumstances. They capture those. They capture American attack aircraft. They capture 10,000 high-explosive rockets, rockets which they might even sell to Palestine if they need fundraising, which might end up raining down on Israel after that. But it won't be the first time Biden's policy has provided rockets to Palestine. Softening on Iran and the billion-dollar payouts of the Obama administration also led to an influx of rockets from Palestine, courtesy of their friends in Iran. It's like the Obama Biden policy team is fighting a proxy war against Israel by indirectly funding Hamas. But no surprise, in 2014, Nancy Pelosi told CNN Hamas was a humanitarian organization. So now you've seen, based on that, for 7 years, they've just been getting the Middle East wrong. But turning on our own American citizens here, in addition to the heavier weapons, the Biden men gave the Taliban M16s. Yes, gave them because the Biden administration abandoned them along with the other equipment, left it for the Taliban to take. The M16, of course, is the cousin of the AR-15, that dangerous rifle that Democrats like Biden want to ban you from having. So they are fine giving the Taliban assault rifles, but Americans aren't allowed to own their own weakened counterparts. Let that sink in. Better still, look at all of the understanding that the Biden administration is giving the Taliban. All the chances to redeem themselves, all the chances to do this stuff. You know, we'll rely on them to help Americans get out. Now look at how they're treating American citizens, Republicans. Everything that the Taliban actually does is what they say that people on the right are doing. Whether it's, you know, sexism on a massive scale, rapes, murders, racism, all of that. The Taliban, bunch of racist hill people, basically. That's what they say, but that's not what the Democrats say. They say that we got to work with them. They're the new leaders now. We got to work with them. We got to trust them to help get our people out, which we refuse to do ourselves. But then when it comes to what they call racist hill people in the U.S., namely rednecks in Appalachia, oh, those are actual terrorists. Homeland Security even sent out a warning saying as much. We actually have to deprive them of their rights and take action against them and arrest them and all of that. It's sickening when you see the treatment that they give the Taliban versus the treatment they give fellow Americans. You know, they released actually five of the Taliban leaders who planned all of this and planned the takeover that was successful of Afghanistan were released from Gitmo by the Obama administration. So they released Taliban folks from Gitmo, whereas the D.C. equivalent to Gitmo that's jailing January 6th rioters, who just most of whom just walked through the building, didn't actually damage anything, the Biden administration is not letting them out. So we can infer from that, it seems to them anyway, that they find Americans more of a threat than the Taliban because they let them terrorists go from Gitmo, but then they let their own citizens stay in the American Gitmo just for walking through a building. That's the administration that we're dealing with here. And in fact, they don't really care about, it seems, any Americans. Let's see this quote here from top Democrat Congressman John Garamendi, Democrat from California. He's the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. He told CNN that it's, quote, not sensible for the U.S. government to provide safe passage to the thousands of stranded Americans in Afghanistan to the Kabul airport. Not even getting them out, just getting them to the airport. It's not sensible. It's not sensible? Tell that to them. Tell that to the 10,000 to 40,000 Americans trapped there that you were telling for months, oh, it's okay, there's nothing to worry about. Heck, even just a week ago, you had the Pentagon spokesperson saying Kabul was not threatened at all, was very calm there. He said that exact word, calm, to describe Kabul a week ago. So these people were not given warning to get out. The Biden administration was given plenty of warning that this would happen, but our folks trapped in Kabul were not. And now you have them, this Democrat congressman saying, yeah, they're on their own, good luck. If they can get to the airport, great. If not, it's not sensible to go after them. Which apparently is a message that our allies don't have, because as I mentioned earlier, UK, France, Germany, they're going after their people, but we're abandoning ours. We're telling our people to rely on the Taliban for transport, the Taliban that's beating them. It's disgusting. They're abandoning the people there and just say it's not sensible. Not sensible. Well, John Garamendi, how about you go to the families of those 10 to 40,000 people and tell them that it wasn't sensible to rescue their family members from being hostages or rape victims or executed by the Taliban. The president lied. The Democrats lied about how safe it was. And so based on those lies, these people stayed there. But now we're abandoning them after lying to them that it was safe to stay there. That's what this guy is saying, and this guy is saying it's just not sensible to do otherwise. I have no words to describe how twisted this is. Four words to describe how twisted this is. Let them eat cake, because that's what they just told all these people at the mercy of a pack of rapist murderers, 10 to 40,000 people. They were just told, go eat cake. We're not going to help you. You're on your own. Good luck. But I don't even think they gave them a good look, really. Not even going to do that much. Whereas, while we don't have the resources to do that, apparently we had the resources to have the National Guard deployed in D.C. for a couple of months just because some people walked into Pelosi's office. That's okay. We have the resources to do that. But we can't do this. Anyway, there'll be more spouting off coming up soon after this quick commercial break coming up. So stick with us through that.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Spouting Off. We are actually joined by now, not just by my lovely voice that's, as I mentioned, not operatic, but by Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business and Culture for the Media Research Center and a Fox News contributing columnist. Dan, appreciate you coming aboard for this. How are you today?
I'm doing well. We're watching really not a press conference that's going on right now, but just a photo op. The president is actually reading the names of the approved people he can ask, can ask questions for him, and which certainly raises the question, do they know what the question is supposed to be ahead of time?
I would say most likely they certainly wouldn't give Biden any loaded questions or anything like that. And I've heard that even with the press briefings, not even with Biden, that's what they're doing. They get the questions ahead of time and pre-approve them.
Well, that's part of access. Everybody wants access to administration, so you end up, giving up your journalism to get access. Like, here's the question I'm going to ask. Well, I mean, look, we've seen how bad this is on the world stage. We've watched as he's misrepresented lots of facts, including today he said his son served in Iraq because, of course, he got much criticized for claiming his son had served in Afghanistan. In the George Stephanopoulos interview earlier this week, where Stephanopoulos, who's never stopped being a PR guy for the Democratic Party, even though he pretends to be a journalist, where Stephanopoulos didn't even correct him on it.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess we couldn't really expect much from George Stephanopoulos. He was with the Clinton White House, and I remember, what was it, in 2016, he didn't even bother disclosing those ties to the Clintons when he was being a moderator, so I guess
he funded the Clinton, their foundation, for thousands of dollars. But, why tell anybody that?
Right. Yeah, that would indicate, that might indicate you have bias, and he wants to pretend that he has none. Although he just, I will give him credit, though, for actually asking Biden about the pictures of people crowded on the planes and the pictures of people falling off the landing gear of planes to their deaths. And they kind of seemed to cut it off, though, after Biden's response of that was 4 or 5 days ago, as if it mattered how many days ago people died, as if they'd be any more alive after dying 4 days ago as opposed to 2 days ago.
Yeah, no, this is for all that we're criticizing, Biden acted in his press conference, particularly that like we're not supposed to criticize, we're supposed to criticize after the fact. No, the only reason some things are happening now is because of criticism now. He claims that we're now considering sending our troops out of the airport to go rescue Americans who are caught behind Taliban lines, that he then, of course, doesn't acknowledge that that's even happening. He denies that people can't get through Taliban roadblocks. Of course they can't. If you're a woman in Afghanistan working for an NGO or something like that, and you're worried about whether the guys who are in the institutional terrorist organization that abuses women and enslaves them, whether it's safe to go through the checkpoint with the guys with machine guns who do that. Of course they're not going to do that. It's insanity.
And we're and it's even more to your point, though, that these people, for the last, I don't know, 2 months at least, the Biden administration has been telling them, oh, everything is safe. You have nothing to worry about. Afghanistan's not going to fall like this. I mean, even just last week, the Pentagon spokesperson, John Kirby, he's out there saying everything in Kabul is calm. So these people were not given any warning, even though the Biden administration apparently was given plenty of warning and chose to ignore it.
Well, and also, I mean, there's a lot of recriminations all around, not for our good, you know, the good men and women who are, you know, putting their lives on the line right now. But why are we doing this from the airport in the middle of Kabul when we had a perfectly good airport that thankfully wasn't in the middle of, you know, an urban area? And for people who don't follow military things, you basically don't want to end up in a fight in an urban area. There's a lot of civilians around, and of course, an airport's a notoriously flat area, and there's high-rise buildings nearby.
Yeah, apparently, you're referring to Bagram Air Base. I forgot the general's name, but they pinned all that on a retiring general. Said it was all his fault that he closed it down in July or whatever, and he's set to retire shortly. Just set to retire anyway, so I guess they figured, well, on your way out, do one more service, take the fall for this.
Yeah, and then, of course, we've got thousands of American vehicles that were in the hands of the Afghans. I mean, not just talking about the rifles and grenades and ammunition, but, I mean, you know, Humvees or whatever, you know, sort of military equipment, MRAPs, you know, helicopters, jets. What is the plan to get rid of that stuff once we're out, once we get our people out? Are we going to organize a systematic bombing campaign to destroy all of those supplies? You know, because, I mean, you know, basically we created a new Taliban army and armed it.
Yeah, and on top of that, there's all the equipment that they gathered from the Afghan army, which includes tanks, like pretty up-to-date modern tanks that could probably challenge an Abrams pretty good.
Yeah, and it's so you'll get some questions, but basically, like I said, today's just a photo op. It's designed because clearly Biden's clearly not succeeding on the only war that the White House cares about, and that's PR.
You know, right.
If you notice in the press conference, there was one very notable point, and I have no problem with it, the fact that they did it. It's that they emphasize it. You know who they're catering things to. They got all the people out from the New York Times, Washington Post, and I think it was Wall Street Journal, all of them and their dependents. It was like a few hundred people.
So they emphasized they got the reporters out, but everybody else was just left to fend for themselves.
Right.
Just
like,
on
okay,
scene.
Now, I've got someone I'm friends with who's over there reporting right now. I want people to be, anybody, you know, safe. But you throw something like that out there to appease the journalist crowds. That's not a policy. That's just a salve.
Do the journalists show any evidence that they took that bait, that they're like, oh, okay, our people are fine, but we don't care about the rest?
It's hard to tell just because, again, it looks like the pre-programmed questions. And that's something we won't find out about because none of the journalists will go public and say, oh, yeah, I had to give my question in so that we can get, keep Biden happy here.
And it's sort of self-centeredness. That explains actually why this whole debacle happened. The experts in their bubble told them, oh, hey, Afghanistan's not going to fall. It's not going to fall this fast. The Taliban are going to be moderate, even if it does fall, and all of those utter lies. And now they're like, okay, well, these journalists who are in our bubble, too, they're safe, so that really seems to be all that matters to us, just the optics and satisfying our friends in the media and all that. Whereas people who are left there right now are told by actually Congressman John Garamendi, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, you're on your own. Good luck if you're left there right now. Meanwhile, he said it's not sensible to send the military in to get them out, whereas it was sensible to keep the military in D.C. just because a few people walked through the White House, the Capitol back in January.
Yeah, well, and the email that our State Department sent out to people was appalling. It basically said, you have to get, you know, we can't guarantee your safety. You have to get to the airport. Well, you know, hey, you have to get to the airport past the guys, the crazy guys from the terrorists, you know, sex slavers with the machine guns. Yeah, that's sort of, when you see our allies, and it's interesting, Biden mentioned this during the press conference, that we had served as overwatch for the French evacuating their embassy. Well, then why don't we serve as overwatch for Americans? That might cause confrontation between Americans and Taliban. Well, then wouldn't it cause confrontation between the French and the Taliban? What sort of agreement did the Biden administration make with the Taliban?
I have no idea, but interesting you mention that. I heard a press conference, I think yesterday, that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, he says that our goal is to, quote, de-conflict with the Taliban, whatever that word means.
Yeah, they won't even say that there are enemies. Of course there are enemies. I mean, that's, can we not declare that terrorists are now our enemies?
Well, that depends on who you define as terrorist. The Homeland Security folks, they sent out that bulletin earlier this week about who the real terrorists might be, and that included, it looked like, anyone who was opposed to the Biden administration, as broad as those specs were.
Yeah, that's sort of an ongoing problem where the administration, what their solution to every problem is to demonize anybody who voted against them. So their goal now is to make 74 million Americans into terrorists. Because you can do anything. If you declare somebody a terrorist, you can basically do anything you want to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks to the laws that we've set up over the years, plus just in general public opinion, how many people watching the news are going to be like, oh, that person's a terrorist? Wait, are they? Or is this just a political thing? Especially after 20 years of that term not really being as abused as it is now.
Yeah, and then you see the little incident you had on Capitol Hill yesterday where a guy claimed he had bombs, and there's no evidence he had bombs.
And it was his wife said that he's mentally disturbed, has bipolar disorder, and he had this Facebook video. It was taken down, but he was just given this incoherent rant, and he was saying that the bombs were provided to him by, somebody connected to the government. And it didn't work, though. He said it didn't work.
Yeah. I wonder. I mean, you have to be suspicious of news stories that are convenient. And, I raised the question of, how does the Biden administration chase Afghanistan off the front page? Because right now, very clearly, the image on 9/11 of America 20 years after, the worst terror attack in American history, the image is going to be Afghanistan. And so they need to change that narrative, and they only got a couple of weeks to do it. And they got the press to help them, though.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed, like you mentioned, everything seemed motivated by the press. Biden was on vacation, and the only reason I remember Monday morning, CNN had this interview with someone from the Biden administration. The person's like, oh, yeah, I don't know when Biden's going to speak about Afghanistan. It's in the coming days. But, he spoke about it in July, and the reporter said that wasn't good enough for her. So then suddenly later that afternoon, Biden's hauled in from Camp David to give his speech, and then he goes right back on vacation after that.
Yeah, this is the administration that understands who its core support comes from. And that's the news media.
Mm-hmm. So you got to keep the media happy, and I guess the media, they seem inclined to eat it up, although they've actually seemed split. It's been interesting this week. There's about 30 seconds left of the segment here, but MSNBC and CNN, they seem like they have multiple personality disorder over, do we report the negative, do we report the positive? You have one host saying it's good, the other host saying no, it's not, and even their guests are torn apart on all this.
Well, I mean, that's what it should be. You should have conflicting opinions. You should have. I mean, that's generally what we want to see. But you see more.
Gotta wrap
more
it up. Sorry about that. Yeah. Cut you off here. But Dan Gaynor, thanks for being on today.
Oh, happy to do it.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at kstarradionetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in to this Friday edition of Spouting Off. Of course, Karen Cataline is not me. My voice is a little too masculine for that. I am actually Silker Joe Show co-host Joe Patterson. I'm filling in for Karen while she is on a business trip. Also do guest hosting on The Alan Nathan Show. You can check both shows out at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And Karen also pops up on The Alan Nathan Show from time to time. Joined right now, though, we have General Tom McInerney, retired Air Force commentator, military analyst, and co-author of Endgame, The Blueprint for Victory and the War on Terror, written also with General Paul Vallely. General McInerney, I appreciate you being on today. How have you been?
Delighted, Joe, to be on with you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Happy to have you on, especially getting this out to the different audience than usual when we have you on the Alan Nathan Show or even the Silker Joe Show. But before we get into the election matters, which are also going on, just want to talk about Afghanistan, especially since you have that book, The Blueprint for Victory in the War on Terror.
Well, the fact is this is the most incompetent operation that I have ever seen in American history. I just don't think we can compare it. The president was just on. I didn't get to listen to all his conversation. But the fact is he keeps talking about the buck stops here. And then you ask him, well, the fact is you have got what we call a non-combatant evacuation operation, a NEO operation. You call for, and then you don't evacuate the civilians before you start off on this thing. I mean, that's the first thing before any of the military people left. The first thing that should have happened, Joseph, was that the civilians and the university teachers and NGOs and all the other organizations that we have, Americans, ministers, preachers, etc., over there, they should have been evacuated. That's the last thing they're doing. Now, this is inconceivable to me that you could do this, that the Secretary of Defense, who, by the way, Austin, was in fact the Central Command commander over there before.
General, your signal seems to have broken up. I guess our producer will try and get a hold of you, get you back on here again. But, so Lloyd Austin, having experience over there in the Middle East, you'd think that this would have been the last thing that he'd want to do. But he ended up doing it anyway. So, General, just now that you're back, continue your point here about Lloyd Austin. He should have known better, but here he is doing the opposite of what should have been done. I think we lost General McInerney again. Okay. Bad cell phone connection, I guess. That's fine. I'm always still happy to have him on the program, though, as we can. It's just that stunning how the people who should have known better, especially after 20 years of this, they didn't know better. As General McInerney was mentioning, they've failed us. Our leaders have failed us on this and are doing things exactly backwards. And it almost just seems like they're doing it because Biden said he wanted our troops out by September 11th, and then he had this deadline August 31st that our soldiers would be out of there. So instead of evacuating all the civilians, he evacuated the soldiers. And why did he leave the civilians in the first place? They kept saying, I guess, for months now that the Taliban wouldn't take over. Did they really believe that? They had evidence to the contrary, that the Taliban would take over, run roughshod over the country. They chose to ignore it in favor, I guess, of the PR talking points that the situation was calm and the Biden administration is doing an orderly, successful evacuation of just our military. So now we leave all the civilians behind just so that they could try to make that talking point work. All right, General, we have you back. I was just mentioning how this all seems to be about getting to that our soldiers are out by 9/11 talking point. And because of that, they focused on getting them out first and ignoring whoever was left, and I guess just hoping the Afghans would have protected them or something.
But they cut a deal with the Taliban, and the Taliban broke the deal. Blinken, the Secretary of State, did it in Doha. Why they're even working with the Taliban and the Trump administration, the same thing. That's like in World War II that Roosevelt and Churchill would have dealt with keeping Nazis in power once they took over. That shouldn't have happened. But getting back on point, just the pure execution, and the Secretary of Defense himself was the Central Command commander and should have known exactly this isn't the way that we're going to conduct this NEO operation, non-combatant evacuation order, and would have done it the right way. I blame the Secretary of Defense, I blame the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Combatant Commander for the poor performance in accepting this. It's a violation of their oath. They should have just said, Mr. President, this is not going to happen this way. And because now they didn't coordinate with our allies, they left Bagram overnight without telling everybody. And so they were sending all the signals to the Taliban that we're not going to work with you now, or we're not going to oppose you. And the fact is, they cut a deal with the Taliban and the Chinese. The Chinese are now going to get $3 trillion worth of mineral rights because the way the administration is leaving. And that goes right back to the election, the 2020 election, which I talk so much about with Alan Nathan, is the Chinese Communist Party helped win that election with cyber warfare. They did it. And so this is the payoff they're getting. The 50 executive orders that were signed by Biden were all either benefit directly to China on trade or open the front door of socialism, which is the entryway to communism in the United States. So he is paying back the Chinese, and all of this is meshed together, Alan. That's why it's so incongruous to think that they could do anything so incompetently is because it's a payoff.
Oh, wow. Yeah, looking at it that way, it does make sense. It makes Biden look dangerously competent now, as opposed to the bumbling oaf that we keep seeing him as, especially, you know, with him on vacation while all this is happening and only coming back from his vacation because the press started getting mad.
This is a screen. And that's why, I mean, this doesn't even pass the smell test. It's not even common sense. Yet, he's doing it because he's got to pay off this debt of him being elected. It is that's why it is so way out of touch of reality, and unfortunately, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Combatant Commander, and in my opinion, remember it was less than a month ago that the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was talking about the critical race theory when he should have been planning and seeing how we were going to do this operation to move out of Bagram as well as Kabul. So they're working on the wrong problems. We have a problem, America. We ought to admit it and say we need the audits of all the states, the six battleground states, that gave him admission into the presidency. He is an unconstitutionally elected individual.
Mm-hmm. And corruptly elected for all the talk that they had of Russian interference in 2016 and how that made Trump illegitimate somehow, even though it all turned out to be a lie. Now we have, you know, the Chinese interfering to get Biden elected, and everyone seems happy to just let that go by unchallenged, except for a few people in Arizona who are fighting the audits. But even right now, though, in Pennsylvania, they're trying to get an election audit done. And just saw this headline from the Gateway Pundit that the Senate president of Pennsylvania, he fired the staff of one of the senators who wanted a full forensic audit and instead is going to bring in just some group that already has proven that they will do a fake audit.
Exactly. They're afraid. Look, if Biden won, he would be demanding that all 50 states have an audit to prove his legitimacy. So people like me that are coming on, and because I happen to know that top secret program, and it was, I was never in briefed on it. That's why I can talk about it, because it's in public sources. But the fact is, if he was so confident that he won with that largest margin ever, he would, in fact, demand that all 50 states do an audit. Instead, they've got lawyers fighting every inch of the way in those six battleground states, and that's Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Those six states determined the outcome because those are the six states that the Chinese focused on the cyber warfare to change the election.
Mm-hmm. And just in addition to that, you have the Democrats' other various things that they've been doing for their fraud, sending 2,000 ballots to an empty lot, and there's the trucks full of ballots coming in at 4 a.m. in the morning, right when they know how many they need to boost whatever district that is so that Biden will win.
Precisely. So they do not want the audits. They're deathly afraid of them. And as I understand it, the Arizona audit's supposed to come out today. But this is tied into Afghanistan, everything that's going on. And then it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me wonder, though, what did the Russians do to earn their payoff when Biden just gave them the Nord Stream pipeline that basically would give them control of our NATO allies' energy production?
Well, he did that, again, as a payoff to the Russians, because the Russians were covertly involved with the Chinese to do that. The Chinese were leading it, but the Russians were involved, as well as Pakistanis and several other countries, and they know about it, so they clearly do not want the Russians to expose them on it. And of course, you mentioned that the Russian collusion that went on Trump, that they tried to blame Trump for doing this, when they, in fact, are the ones that were doing it.
I guess that's their typical deflection tactic. Everything that they are guilty of, they will make us think about someone else doing it, so then you stop suspecting them of being the ones actually doing it.
Precisely. That has been their game plan. It's Saul Alinsky's game plan. Do that. And see, they actually thought that they had cyber in the 2016, but I can't tell you how it was countered because they were doing it far, far less subtle than they have turned out to do on the 2020. The 2020... they just went gangbusters because it's very obvious in the audits. The difference between an audit is they just don't recount ballots. They count with the envelopes, for instance, in the mail-in ballots, where they folded. Well, they've got thousands of envelopes, not envelopes, but of ballots that were never folded, meaning they had never been mailed in. They were just trucked in, and thousands of them were filled out by a machine.
All right, General, going to have to cut you off there because we're coming out. But listeners, thank you for tuning in to Spouting Off. More to come after the break.
Thanks very much for having me, Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Scouting on Friday program. I'm not the usual Karen Cataline, though. Silker Joe Show co-host Joe covering for her while she's on a business trip. We are joined now by Richard Manning, D.C. insider who frequents the White House, where he, frequented the White House, I should say. I need to update his bio, where he met with President Trump, Vice President Pence, and other high-level officials on a regular basis. And he is also president of Americans for Limited Government. So, Richard Manning, appreciate you being on today. How have you been?
I've been great. How are you? You know, we're in perilous time, so I'm as good as you can be in a time where a lot's going wrong.
Yes, sir. Now, I saw your Americans for Limited Government, your press release about calling for the impeachment of, was it Lloyd Austin, right?
Yes, the defense secretary. Most people don't realize that cabinet-level officials can be impeached, and both Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, and Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, need to be impeached. There is no semblance of any plan being enacted in Afghanistan. We're seeing the results of that. We're seeing I am a believer in the idea that was true back in the early 1980s that politics stops at the waterline. But I will tell you that what's happened in Afghanistan over the last 3 months, 4 months, all based on a timetable designed to try to give Joe Biden a photo op for September 11, 2021, is the single greatest botched effort in U.S. history. It has done more damage to us with our allies than anything we could have possibly done, because we didn't consult with NATO before a lot of these choices. We decided that we moved ahead without consultation. They have people on the ground. They have troops on the ground. But we moved ahead without consultation, and we didn't have a plan to get people out. Clearly didn't have a plan to get people out. And as a result, we are facing chaos. We're facing people who are being, and we've got over 10,000 Americans in country. The challenge, obviously, is getting them out. The French are getting their people out. They're sending their troops out into Kabul, out into the country, and getting their people out. The Brits are getting their people out, sending their commandos out to get their people out. The Germans are getting their people out. But you know who's not? We aren't. And it's inexcusable. It's malpractice. It's more than incompetence. It is, it's an impeachable offense. And the department and, you know, obviously the president and vice president bear the ultimate responsibility, but the people who have supposedly been advising them and running this on this disastrous clown show, need to be held accountable, and Congress needs to impeach them.
And do you see that happening? That, because I'm just having flashbacks to Benghazi. It was a similar situation. We've been getting warnings for months, just as we have now, that this could happen, that this would likely happen. The administration in each case downplayed any such warnings. Then suddenly it does happen, and they're caught flat-footed, and people die, but no one was held accountable for Benghazi either.
Well, true. No one was held accountable for Benghazi, but that's perhaps we learn from that. I will tell you that there are real similarities. One of the similarities is the general who actually had forces in Italy who could have been at Benghazi within an hour, that general was waiting for orders to do it. He sat there and said, he put in appeal after appeal to get it done, and Washington let him down. They didn't. Nobody gave him the orders, and those men died as a result of that. And similarly, it's the orders to do things like destroy the materiel, the billions of dollars of Black Hawk helicopters, reinforced bases that we've left there, Humvees, biometric equipment, drones, billions of dollars of military material and fortifications. We made a decision to leave those for the Taliban. It was a straight-out decision. And now Biden is saying, well, we got to look at whether or not we should do something to destroy them on the ground. Well, that's stuff you plan in advance. You don't give up your Air Force base at Bagram Air Force Base, which is actually secured and securable location, and think you're going to do your evacuation in the middle of downtown Kabul. And that's where they're doing it. I mean, the airport is in the middle of downtown Kabul. Bagram is about 20-minute helicopter ride away in the mountains in a secured mountain location. We gave up the secure air base and did the evacuation out of the insecure airport. You couldn't plan it any worse. And that tells you that either they had no plan or they planned to fail. And Congress has to take action and remove the people who they can remove who are responsible for this debacle. They should be taking action. They should come back right now and take action. They won't, but that's a different story. But the fact of the matter is, this is an extraordinarily grave circumstance. President Biden was on the air about 45 minutes ago. And I can just tell you that there's a reporter who said, we don't have time to fact check the misrepresentations of what's going on the ground. There were so many of them. And having been, let's just say, I have the ability to find out what's happening on the ground from extremely reliable sources. And misrepresentation is such a nice term.
Wow.
It is such a nice term. So it's not a misrepresentation. It's a downright lie. And whether or not Biden is aware it's a lie or not, whether or not a speechwriter knows it's a lie or not, General Milley knows it's a lie. Lloyd Austin knows it's a lie. Anthony Blinken knows it's a lie. And they're still trying to play politics with this. They're still thinking they can say, you know, they can pull something out of the hat at the last minute and not look like the worst president in the history of America. But the fact of the matter is, they are not telling the truth about what's happening, and it is an extraordinarily dangerous situation. And our men that we've sent there, and maybe there's some women too, but the men and women who we've sent there are effectively sitting ducks if somebody chooses to take advantage of the situation. They're sitting ducks. There's an undefensible position. So, and you can only get, you know, 300 on a plane apparently at a time. And you can't use civilian aircraft because, from accounts, at some point somebody decided to take the civilian air traffic control system out of the air traffic control towers as part of the evac. So you can no longer fly civilian aircraft out of there.
Wow.
So that's all in all, I wish there were good news. There isn't. It is worse than people understand, but there also is some humanity that's going on. We're going to be posting a picture on dailytorch.com in the next 5 minutes of a U.S. soldier inside the wire holding an Afghan baby who was who they were able to get in, you know, get through the crowd and get in. And that's a, and it's just a, it's such a, in the midst of total chaos and inhumanity, is a picture that reminds us that even in those circumstances, the people we send into harm's way have both the toughness but also the humanity to be people we can be proud of. Because this isn't a problem with the people inside the wire. This is a problem with the people who are sitting here in Washington, D.C., safe and secure.
All right. We'll have to end it there, Richard Manning, but poignant words to end on. Thank you, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Spouting Off today.